Hey everybody, and welcome to Rider Club Radio, the spookiest podcast. Hey everybody, welcome to Rider Club Radio, the podcast all about Kamen Rider.
You tried.
Go ahead and stop that.
You tried real hard. It was a valiant
effort.
No, I think
you could try harder.
You can't.
Who the fuck is that?
Just pretend I didn't say anything.
I'm fucking coughing because I gasped so hard.
You are acting like we edit this shit. I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
And on this week's spooky episode, the spooktacular of Rider Club Radio, we've conducted a virgin sacrifice to bring back the dead guy. Everybody say hi to Tomaz.
Don't say hi.
Hi.
I'm not here.
Hi, Tomaz.
Oh, hi. Who are you?
This is getting off to a rollicking good start. Hey, Liam.
Yeah?
What happened in today's episode of Kamen Rider Ghost, Episode 4?
Okay, well, today in Ghost Episode 4, the Sage comes around and he tells Ghost that this week, the Nobunaga form is going to be... This is the toy that's going to be on this week. So the gang gets contacted by a client that says, oh, my boss is acting real ambitious, just like Nobunaga. And he's turned all mean and he's, like, making hostile acquisitions of other companies. And also things are floating around my office. So I think these things must be connected. So I'm talking to this ghost. I'm hiring you, the ghost hunters, to figure the shit out for me. So they go and investigate, and Takeru finds out that the boss is indeed mean and very ambitious, and he also really likes Nobunaga. His family goes back a very long time, and they, like, helped Nobunaga or something, and Nobunaga gave them the highest honor or something like that. He has a little, like, plaque thing. Like
he wrote a letter to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a letter.
You're the best.
And he, like, wrote while he was taking a shit and put it out through the door slot.
Thanks, you done me a solid. Love, Nobunaga. So he investigates a little more and he finds out there is a Ganma to blame. There's a Ganma that's all like, he's got like a top hat and he's all like Alice in Wonderland all done up. And he fights it.
No one ever mentions anything about being Alice in Wonderland. Like, he just is.
It's just the motif. Which,
that really makes me wonder, were the other guys like that? Were they based on shit or no?
I don't know.
So far it seems like all of the monsters that have been showing up have nothing to do whatsoever with what's going on in the show. They just have some sort of random thing they have going on.
Well, the
I guess they're all just like items.
The electricity dildo had a thing. He was
okay. Yeah, he got me there with the electricity dildo.
They call that a vibrator these days, fellas.
Oh well, thanks for learning me something today.
It gives a new meaning to the shocker, I suppose.
Fuck you.
Okay, what were we talking about? Ghost.
We were talking about Ghost Episode 4.
And how he looks like a magician.
So, he's an Alice...
Cuckoo on his head.
He's an Alice in Wonderland monster, and Ghost... He kicks Ghost's ass, Ghost gets his ass kicked, and then he runs off. And so, all this time, the Nobunaga boss... What?
He doesn't really get his ass kicked. He's like, oh, what do? And then he makes that weird, like, Naginata sword.
He tricks him real hard. He tricks Ghost real hard. He mentally kicks his ass.
Ghost. He makes him feel real bad about himself. Go on.
Yeah, and then he runs off. And meanwhile, all this time, the Nobunaga boss is making all these acquisitions. And they notice that Akari and Onari, they notice if you look at the map, all the businesses that they've acquired create a giant eye. And the eye pattern creates, it's like some kind of sigil that they need. And they rise the ground out of the ground. And a big...
But first
what?
We meet his secretary, who is obviously a Ganma.
Yeah, the secretary is possessed by a Ganma, and she goes to the Nobunaga boss, and she says, oh, this is the floating castle. This is going to be your floating Nobunaga castle from which you will unite the whole country through business.
And he's like,
I guess I'm okay with this.
He's like, he's 100% fine with what's happening. He's like, well, yeah, okay, if it means uniting the land, if it means realizing my ambition... My Nobunaga's ambition, if you will.
Are you going to tell us about this episode or not, Liam?
So the secretary is doing the same thing they were doing last week, where you make the person, like, if they're really in tune with the ghost, then you can kill them and draw the ghost out. You can sacrifice them. But again, Takeru runs up and hugs the guy real hard, and that draws the ghost out. It draws out...
Which is the lamest shit. I was really hoping that wasn't going to continue.
Is it the hug or the tear?
It's both.
This is our manly hero, everyone.
So the Nobunaga soul comes out, but Ghost doesn't have fucking time to do it, because after he beats the he beats up the Alice in Wonderland monster using the Robin Hood soul, and the island starts falling, the floating island starts falling, and there's a lot of people there. So he's gotta stop it. So Urisen gives him the Isaac Newton icon, and there's a specific callback to the little crossover episode with Drive, so that shit's canon. He says, oh, it's that blue icon from that time I met the police detective. And he puts it in, and he uses the gravity powers to stop the island, and there's a nice little part that I like where he just lets it crush him, because he's a ghost, and he just flies through it.
I love that Urisen's like, you still haven't figured out your fucking powers yet, have you?
He saves everyone on the island, and then Urisen's like, oh, you forgot to pick up Nobunaga, and he goes, oh shit, I gotta go get Nobunaga, and right when he's going to get it, he is attacked, someone jumps in his way, and it's Spectre. And Spectre's like, oh yeah, I'm a big badass, you're a big softy, you're a wimp ghost, I'm taking Nobunaga. And he takes it, and then he fucks off. And that's the end. So?
We get some mysterious horse shit at the end, where like the pretty guy is like, we've gained more than we've lost, even though we've lost an icon every fucking episode so far.
Maybe Spectre is their ace in the hole. So,
maybe.
Jeff...
I kept thinking that dude was Spectre.
I don't think so.
Well, he wasn't wearing the correct jacket.
Yeah, he's got to wear the racing...
It was kind of getting insinuated, though, at the beginning of the episode, where that old fogey's like, oh yeah, if you want to handle this yourself,
and then Spectre shows up.
We know Spectre's showing up this episode, so it's sort of like maybe he's Spectre.
So
they kind of pulled a fast one on me there, because I seriously thought that he was just going to be Spectre.
So Tomaz is an idiot. We've learned that today.
Jeff and Dead Guy, what did you guys think of this episode? Good, bad?
Go ahead, Dead Guy. You're the guest of honor.
Eh.
Eh?
No real, like, yay or nay. Just sort of, eh.
Eh.
It was eh. That's kind of how I felt about Ghost so far this whole time. Just, eh.
Ghost, I think, has been up and down for me. This episode in particular I liked more than last episode. I liked that Onari wasn't a big obnoxious fuck. Apparently that's not going to be a continuing theme, thank God.
He was still fairly obnoxious, he just wasn't in very many scenes this time.
You're saying you don't like Onari?
No. He's
like the only likable character in this show for me.
No, he pisses me off. He was okay in this episode, because like in the one before this, in episode 3, every single line... is him looking real close into the camera and yelling and making a silly face. And it's not like that in this episode, thank God. He's...
I think if we've learned anything from watching Drive and now watching Ghost, is that Liam hates fun and happiness.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I like Spectre.
And he only likes edgy characters and murder and death and pain and suffering.
That's why I like Spectre so much. That's why I'm so glad he's in this episode.
How large was your erection when Spectre showed up?
Oh my God, I saw the ghost of night behind him, and it made me feel real good inside.
Ugh.
I'm not even...
Out of the way, losers, we're gonna talk about my opinions.
Okay, what do you think, Jeff?
I thought this episode was alright, but it didn't really have the steam that the last episode had for me.
Yeah.
I think because it was a lot of the same, storyline-wise, we've gotten into the structure of the series now, where the Sage tells him what toy is going to appear this episode. He goes out to investigate a super coincidental person who's already told them everything they need to know to figure out where the toy is. And then the Ganma tricks this person into glowing, and Takeru hugs them and cries a single tear, and then there's a fight scene and the episode's over.
That's one thing I wanted to bring up, the hug. The first time it happened, it seemed like it was going to be a unique thing. Like, he's just going to do it once. But now it's going to happen every single episode, or it seems like they might be bringing it back every single episode, and I don't know if I like that. It's weird as a consistent thing.
I don't really have these sorts of expectations for the episodes, like, the way they've been going, like you guys have. Like, to me, it seems like this is sort of going the same way of Oz or Wizard, where they have, like, a defined beginning, something they're kind of going for, And then eventually they have to hit their stride and, you know, start doing something else. Like, they can't reveal a form every episode because he only has, like, 12 more, 11 more, something like that. So there has to be some sort of trading off, some sort of other motivation, something that they have to be doing, because eventually you're going to run out.
Well, that's...
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that switch in the series. And, I mean, Liam has a point there. When he hugged the, like, Robin Hood lady, Little John... it was because they were similar as characters. It felt like a bonding moment or something. Like, he was saving her because they were so similar.
Yeah.
And then he hugs this motherfucker, and they have nothing in common. It's
no,
like,
his father came to see him.
I don't give a shit.
Like, personality-wise, their characters don't really have much to
do
with each other.
They don't have... They're not on the same path and then diverge in the same way that Takeru and Little John did.
Yeah, they don't have that similarity at all, no.
And that connection is what made that hug seem, you know, personal. Like, it meant something, but it doesn't mean something. It's just a gimmick.
It's something written in the instruction manual.
I thought maybe it would be that the thing that would happen every episode was that maybe he would, like, give him a speech, an inspiring speech, which I could live with. But the hug just feels kind of cheap.
Why does the hug cure him?
I don't know. Because
it feels like this sort of Assassin's Creed stuff, where he, like... lays them down as they die and talks to them and makes them all happy before he just fucks off and runs away.
But they get up after, so it's okay.
So it's different.
The hug makes no sense with this guy. Like, why would a hug cure him of his ambition?
It's because Nobunaga was a nice guy, and the only way I'm gonna make you see this is because I'm gonna hug you. And that made him realize.
I think it has less to do with the physical act of the hug, and it's sort of like their spirits are like shaking hands and being like, hey, what's up, how are you doing? Hey, you should chill out.
I wish it wasn't a hug, though, that would do that. It's a strange imagery that to...
The hug would be fine if it wasn't for, like, the closeness and, like, they have, like, the hazy soap opera filter over it and, like... He cries a single tear every time? What the fuck is that about?
The hug seems climactic of, like, the end of an arc. It doesn't seem like something that should happen episodically, is the thing.
Maybe it's like Forze's handshake.
It must be. Maybe we'll just get used to it. I'm hoping...
So maybe Forze's it'll escalate. Handshake only maybe closer. It'll go from a hug to something else.
Ooh. Smoochin'?
You insinuating something here about Takeru? Our perfectly heterosexual hero?
Yeah, because all of the other Kamen Rider shows have perfectly heterosexual characters.
Hey, just because you and your bro make out doesn't mean you and your bro are gay.
Okay.
Just because you and your bro tattoo.
Right, Liam?
Doesn't mean it's not gay if you're fighting.
That's true. We learned that in Ryuki.
I think, I'm hoping that you're right, Tomas, that it's like these episodic bits at the beginning are just set up. And we're going to get all the characters set up, and we're going to get the enemies set up, and all the forms and stuff. And then it'll start to sort of break off
from that. Show its colors.
Yeah, break off from that formula, maybe do more larger, overarching stories. That's what I'm kind of waiting for. And
that
I think,
has to happen at some point, is the thing. Because, like Tomas said, we're running out of forms. There's only so many forms he can get.
Yeah.
And you don't even want to pile them on all right at the beginning. You want to leave some for the viewers to look forward to.
Yeah, because you gotta.
Otherwise, it makes no sense. Where it's like, oh, I only have 88 days left, but I already have like 5, so whatever.
He's making great time right now. He's on track. Seriously. That's probably not going to continue.
I love how the sage was like, "Oh, this one's going to be more difficult," and then Urasen just gave him a fucking icon.
It's difficult because you got to wait till the city's falling on you. You have to have that specific situation to happen, and then you get it. It was really lucky.
As far as the opening episodes and setting up the show, I feel like that's sort of become the pattern for a lot of the Neo Heisei stuff. It just
use that term on here.
Excuse me?
We do not use that term on Rider Club Radio, sir.
That wasn't in the contract.
We call that post-decade.
Thank you.
I don't really care what you call it. But
whoa,
anyway.
What an attitude! Somebody's got an attitude.
If you want to keep being wrong.
I don't really care what you call it.
You want to keep being wrong, that's your prerogative. You can keep doing it.
Write into riderclubradio@gmail.com to tell us that Tomas is an idiot.
Tell them how right I am.
Go ahead with what you were going to say.
Anyway, they take 10, 15 episodes sometimes to set everything up and then actually start the show, which is why sort of giving a show maybe that many episodes before you turn away from it is a good idea, because it's really hard to know what the show is going to be until then, which is why I haven't stopped watching Ghost yet, even though it's not really doing anything for me. Because I know eventually it's going to have to change, and I want to see what happens.
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense to me, though. I mean, it's working for Toei, don't get me wrong, but aren't you supposed to, like, draw in the audience to begin with? Like, do something flashy and cool right up front to get people hooked?
The boring beginning of
a series doesn't seem like it's going to draw that many people in.
I don't think you necessarily have to do something big right at the start. You just have to have a promise of something big. And I know that's kind of lame in comparison to actually having shit to show right up at the front, but there's still a lot of flashy shit going on. It's like the first act. You know, you don't see Luke fighting Darth Vader with a lightsaber right at the beginning of the first movie. You wait for it, but when it happens, it's so satisfying.
You do get to see a space battle right up front.
That's true, and with Ghost, you get to see a lot of Ghost fights right up front, but it's not the Darth Vader.
Yeah, but if you've seen previous Kamen Rider series, this is all pretty old hat.
Yeah, it's true.
Let's not get into comparing it to Star Wars, because the opening of Star Wars has a lot more to it.
Yeah.
But
maybe that's an unfair comparison, but
yeah, that's a little unfair. But no, I don't really think they need to have any sort of that something that draws you in, because their primary audience is children in Japan, so they're not really going to be looking for this kind of information.
Children in Japan have a lot of choices for other things to watch. You have to do something to draw them in. Like, think about the first act, or the first couple episodes in, like, an anime series. It introduces you to the characters and sets up the plot, but it's also doing something different than other anime series in order to get people interested.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I'm not talking about, like, Moe or anything. That's all the same, but write in and tell me I'm an asshole. I don't give a fuck.
There you go. Alienating all the Moe fans again. How does he keep getting away with it?
All of those Moe Kamen Rider fan crossover.
Man, you have no idea.
No, I don't, and I prefer to keep it that way.
Yeah. Keep him innocent. So this episode was, it's an eh all around the table.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's very similar to the previous episode. Just switch the cast that aren't the main cast around, and you have the same episode, pretty much.
Yeah, I liked it a little more than the last one. I think it had some pretty impressive visual effects for the scene where the city was rising out.
Completely original visual effects.
I think it's time we address the elephant in the room. There was a scene in this episode, the scene of the city rising out of the ground, a bunch of buildings rising out of the ground, that was ripped almost wholesale from the summer movie from Oz, I believe it was. Like, mm-hmm. Shot for shot. Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not almost completely. It's completely.
There's an eye on the ground at one point, okay? They change it up a little.
But all the scenes of, like, people running and reacting and, like, looking up and the island raising besides the top and everything are lifted wholesale from Oz, and they're not even color-corrected to look like the rest of the episode.
Look, Jeff, they gotta cut corners somewhere, okay? Toei, they spend so much money everywhere else.
I don't know if that's cutting a corner. That's going from, like, in a straight fucking line through it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's sort of going in a straight line if you think about it, like, you know, you're used to seeing the same sort of settings, like, oh, under the bridge, in the park, by the stadium. Now it's just, how about we just keep using the same scenes?
You know, it'd be great if Ghost grabs the Ganma and they jump into the underpass, you know, the famous underpass, and then just cuts to footage of Bravo fighting the Nut Brothers, and it's just like, just fucking picture Ghost here, and there you go, you got your episode.
Like, they fucking have, like, cardboard cutouts on top of it, just, like, moving, like, a South Park episode while they're fighting a Ghost and the Ganma.
Sorry, kids, the toy sales have been low this year. Gotta cut back on the budget.
Speaking of toy sales, have you guys seen Spectre's weapon? We've gotten some much clearer shots of it.
Oh yeah, baby.
Really?
I haven't seen anything.
You haven't seen it?
His weapon, have you ever seen, like, those toys back in the day that had, like, a little robot arm and like, a long piece, and you put your hand in the end and you could move the robot's fingers from the end?
You mean like a little grabby hand?
Yeah, a little grabby hand. That is Spectre's weapon.
What?
He's got a big blue extendo grabby arm.
Yeah, that's his weapon.
What sort of power-ups does that get? Does it turn into like a sticky hand?
I'll tell you. Next episode, the weapon of the Nobunaga soul is a rifle. So he into a rifle, and the it's just a rifle with a big fist in the barrel and shoots the bullets out of the fist.
You're making this sound a lot cooler than it actually is.
it's a big dumb blue plastic rifle. Yeah. The big fist is the barrel there. There's the more accurate description.
If there's one thing Ghost sort of has going for it, I like that the way that they're doing all of the weapons, like, I like the Ghost weapon is like a greatsword that turns into a gun and turns into, you know, two swords and turns into this instead of, I have six weapons and I pull them all out of my ass.
It's cool. It saves budget because you only have one weapon technically, and it looks cool. It's more like visually consistent across all the forms, and it's neat to think of the sword like, oh, it comes into two swords. It turns into a bow if you mash this phone into it.
You know what I'm just thinking about?
What?
Toei's probably being really smart with this sword that turns into all the weapon shit, because if you sell a million little pieces of shit, kids can only buy so many of them, and if they're cheap, you're not really going to make your money back unless you're insanely popular.
Mm.
But if you charge a bunch of money for one weapon that can turn into all the weapons...
There you go.
A lot more kids will get it.
To be fair, though, they still got to buy the Condor phone, and they still got to... All those other fucking add-ons.
Yeah, Toei hasn't learned their lesson,
really. That
hot Condor
phone.
That hot toy 2015. Fucking Condor phone.
Like, kids would look at the Condor phone and be like, what the fuck is this? Where's the touch screen?
Oh, Christ.
The toy sales aside, the weapons are really great, but the one thing that Ghost really has going for it is the designs of, like, the riders and the weapons and stuff are sick as shit.
Oh, yeah. Visually, it's a great show so far.
Visually, my favorite thing about the show is actually Ghost when he's not transformed at all. Like, when he's not in his base form or any of the other forms, he has, like, that blank slate face. I think that looks really cool.
Oh, yeah.
I think that looks really goofy as fuck.
The Riot Trooper face, yeah. He's got a big...
Because he looks like a mannequin.
The big dinner plate.
I think that's a really cool design, though. Like, if he just looked like that, and then he transformed from that point.
I like, blank forms like that. I think those are neat. Like, Gaim had them, Ryuki had them, Deno has one. I think they're cool to look at. I usually don't, like, love the design of them, though.
Yeah, I don't really love the design of it. I think the blank face is kind of dumb.
I'm neutral.
But
cool.
I love Self-Soul. I think Self-Soul is fucking gorgeous.
Self-Soul is slick as fuck.
Inspector's Self-Soul, whatever it actually is, it's also fucking gorgeous. Seeing it in this episode was awesome.
Yeah, Spectre, nice. It's nice to see it a little close up and get more detail and see it in motion. I remember when I first saw it, I was kind of shitting on it for being too similar to Ghost. But it's more of like it's a similar aesthetic, but it's different enough for me. Now that I've...
I would see it being similar because, you know, they're all ghosts.
Ghost Driver, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like the three riders in Blade that use technology to transform all have very similar looks.
Yeah. Can I say...
I'm figuring Necrom, going by, like, past Rider series, I figure Necrom is not going to use a Ghost Driver to transform.
He's not. Remember, he's got the eyedropper.
Oh, you fucking explained that to
yeah,
me
Yeah, he's
already.
Got the wrist. That's
I
how...
came to that conclusion myself as well.
I'm sure somewhere deep in your subconscious you were remembering the eyedropper.
I try to forget everything you say to me.
That's true. That's probably smart.
I don't even have to try.
Oh.
Anyway.
One thing I really like about this episode, before we move on... I love in Rider series when the main character starts out being a rider, and then it turns out he's not the first one. There's a bunch of others running around. It's like, it feels a little more like he's taken a step into a larger world, and there's like, he's in the deep shit now. Ryuki had that too, I like that about Ryuki as well, where like, oh, I'm cool, I got all these powers, and then, no, actually, you're an idiot, there's a bunch of other people who have had the powers for like a year or more, and they're way better than you, and that's what Spectre is. I'm liking everything about Spectre I've seen so far. I look forward to
it. I actually am, too. I'm really not the biggest fan of Edgelord characters, although I did like Kaido.
Of course.
For some reason. I don't know. Maybe because he was a banana man. Because
he was fucking
like, the
sick.
The juxtaposition of him being, like, this badass, like edgelord dickhead and him also being a banana man. It just worked for me. But
the banana
Spider looks fucking awesome, even in his untransformed look, like with his racing suit. He looks really cool. So I'm looking forward to hating him as the series goes along.
I cannot wait to see more of Spectre. I'm glad they put him in so early.
I don't know what to expect from him, but I mean, I'm glad to see more of Ghost at least. I think his design is pretty cool, but
you don't know.
I don't really know anything about his character, so
you don't know what to expect-er from him.
I wasn't going to make that joke because you probably shit all over for me for it. So
Tomas,
do
you want to be the new host of the podcast? You want to replace Jeff? Is that?
I thought that was why I was here.
Yeah,
well, expect-er.
After that joke, I think the interview is done. I'm ready to hire you.
You guys could never replace me.
let's have your people call my people, and we'll have lunch.
Yeah, I'll have all the Rider Club Radio employees.
Yeah. Technically, I was an employee before you were.
Oh, that's true. You're the legacy.
You also got fired.
I didn't get fired. I just didn't show up.
What happens when you don't show up for work?
It's a quick.
Look, you got fired out of a cannon, and that's why you're dead now.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. I'm dead. Let's keep running with that.
We have plenty of employees. Where do you think all the Shocker Combat men have been doing all these years?
They had to work somewhere.
They're here with us.
We pay them slave labor wages.
I thought they all worked at the church.
So American minimum wage?
Oh, ooh, my God. Take that, Obama.
Right out of the park. The biting political commentary of Rider Club Radio.
Well, hey, my minimum wage is going up where I live. So.
Oh, you live in one of the good states, yeah?
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a good state.
there's a state, and then there's better state.
So are we done talking about the episode?
Although I will say that Onari and Akari have already started to slowly fade towards the background.
They did one thing this episode, pretty much.
Yeah, it's episode 4, and they're already slowly fading to the background. This is standard Rider series right here.
I'm just glad that Akari stopped talking about science and, oh, ghosts aren't real, and I don't believe you, la 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 la.
She's not the designated complainer anymore, which is nice.
I hate that. I hate that.
She's grown out of it.
She's grown out of it, but now she doesn't really have a personality besides argues with Onari.
Yeah, she was kind of doomed from the start.
That's a shame. It's just not an easy character to work into this kind of show.
No.
I'm not entirely sure they were thinking it through when they really decided to put her in the series.
They really have to pull again from Drive on her, where he was the skeptic for like 5 episodes, and then he turned around. And then he had a completely different character on his back that he was hiding the whole time.
Yeah, once
he became the person who's absolutely obsessed with the stuff he didn't believe in before.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be great for Akari, actually. She could be absolutely obsessed with finding a scientific explanation, but she wouldn't discount that the Ganma are real.
That we saw a bit of that in, I think it was the last episode, where she was like down in the lab making the glitter dust.
Yeah, which is great, although the fact that it's in a fucking leaf blower ain't so great.
Look, the toys ain't selling well today.
Hey man, that's a DIY toy.
Yeah. Kids, get your parents' leaf blower out of the shed.
Put some glitter in it and then blow it all over the house. They'll love it.
That shit'll stick there forever.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of Japanese children murdered by parents.
Who's gonna buy the toys?
I think that's all I have to say about the episode, though. Tomas, do you have any last words?
Not really.
Before we put you back in the ground?
No, don't put me back in the ground!
Finn.
Back to the realm of the dead with you.
Do we have any news this time?
I have two news articles. Nothing. The world of Kamen Rider slept this week. Jack shit happened. I was looking and I found a bunch of really interesting stuff. There's a real-life Pokemon gym opening in Japan somewhere. But that doesn't have that doesn't have anything to do with Kamen Rider,
no,
so I'm
we're
not going to talk
about that right now.
Okay. Nope.
There's a real-life Pokemon gym opening?
It's not,
what the fuck?
It's not what you think it is.
Is it like a room that you go and you battle some weirdo?
No, that would be what it would actually be like.
You bring your 3DS?
That would be what the games would be like. No, it's got a bunch of little, like, exercise. It's like an edutainment thing. where you do...
Oh, fuck off, Nintendo.
You play a bunch of little games, and it's like, it's supposed to help the kids connect with each other better, I guess. That's it.
So they're trying to, like, fix the birth rate problem in children now?
You gotta start early with that.
Whoa. That's a little presumptuous.
Look, all I know about Japan is that nobody's boning. That's it.
That's all you know about Japan?
That's all I know.
All of these years that you've spent watching Kamen Rider, and that's all you know about Japan?
Yeah, I see Kamen Rider fighting Kaijin, and I'm like, how is this going to solve the birth rate problem, Kamen Rider?
Oh, God, I think the same thing!
Takeru's really cool, but how much sex does he have? How many babies does he have in between episodes?
Has he impregnated Akari yet or no?
I feel like that's what everyone was asking of Shinosuke.
Yeah, Shinosuke and Kiriko. I read a lot about that.
Oh, I bet you did.
On the internet.
I bet you did.
I didn't go searching for it or anything.
It just wound up in your inbox.
Oh, of course not. I just tripped.
People sent it to Rider Club Radio. That's how I
tripped
found
and
it.
Fell on my keyboard and accidentally, with my face, typed in Shinosuke x Kiriko hot sex into Google.
I am not a sex weirdo. I want to put that forth right now.
Can I get to my actual news articles?
Yeah,
my,
go right ahead.
This is quote-unquote news. This is barely news, but Toei released a video this week. They did it last year, too, where the pose that Takeru makes when he's about to transform, you know, he, like, waves his arms around, he does the little, like, monk thing.
Yeah.
There's a video now that'll teach you how to do it step by step. And I'll have that in the blog post, and you can look at it, and so you can play with your ghost driver just properly, so you know how to do all the right
poses. This is certainly a slow news week, isn't it?
Yeah! No shit. I still managed to leave out all the SH Figure Arts news anyways. That's we're not going to talk anything about that.
How'd you find that video, Liam? Did it come up under related videos for, like, how to tie a tie? It's like, oh, how do I do those things?
How to play with toys, and that was there in the recommendeds. But it's like, I remember last year they came up with the same one for Drive and Mach, and the hand gestures get fucking more complicated every year. Like, last year you had Ryoma, which was just like, screw you. Remember when he transforms in the forest?
Oh, yeah.
And he, for the first time, and he's like, moving his, he's doing all that wushu shit with his hands.
That's true.
And then they had Shinosuke, who, like, draws the R with his arms.
Well, think about Black's Henshin.
I could do Black's Henshin. I could mimic Black's Henshin after seeing it like twice. I still don't know how to do ghosts.
I would say maybe Black RX is more complicated than Black.
RX is a lot. Yeah, RX. Is
RX has like 8 steps.
Yeah, you gotta like move your arm to like 0.3 and then 90 degrees left, and then
yeah, we can't all be Dark Ryuki.
You have to put in a fucking cheat code to transform. You've gone too far.
Seriously. Like, last year was pretty bad. Last year was like, you have to use the video, you gotta do it in slow motion a few times, and then you're like, okay, I got it, I can do it now.
We're learning a lot about what Liam does in his spare time in this episode.
Yeah, he practices with his hands a lot.
But yeah, it's a complicated transformation pose. If you really want to do it, if you've got yourself a ghost driver and you want the experience to be as authentic as possible...
Why the fuck would you buy a ghost driver?
I have no idea. I have no clue. But, you know, if you're one of those suckers and you bought one, you can check out that video, and it'll teach you exactly how to do the fucking ninja handman symbols necessary to transform.
Samaz, what do you think about the ghost driver? Everybody knows that Liam and I hate its fucking guts.
I don't hate its guts, but it certainly looks unfinished, like they forgot to paint it.
That's true. I like that he summons it, and I like that he doesn't have to, like, pull 80 levers to transform.
It's pretty simple.
I think it's kind of weird that it's so bulky, but it has to be, because he like, puts the eye inside of it, so he tears it in half and shoves an eye in and closes it.
He opens it up like
a little coffin.
And he opens it up like a fucking Walkman...
Yeah, oh my god.
All right, if you guys at home want to have your own DIY ghost driver, just get a Walkman and paint an eye on a cassette tape.
Just take a trip down to your local dump. It'll be full of that shit.
Ask your local old person if they have a Walkman.
So if you live near Liam, you know where to go.
I think I like the functionality of the ghost driver, like you said, Jeff. I love that you pull the lever and the eye blinks. and it changes what it like what it's doing.
That's cute.
But it just on its own, it looks like a big lumpy chunk of plastic. It's kind of ugly.
I didn't really think you'd get much uglier than Forza's driver, but they sure proved me wrong.
Forza's driver is one of the ones I was just talking about where there's like 800 fucking switches on it.
Yeah, I have this this image saved. It's like from a Verizon commercial where this guy has like a belt on with like 6 phones on it. And the store representative is like, sweet belt, Fours.
Thank you for that trip down memory lane into your fucking file folders. What else happened in... Oh my god.
I'm sorry.
Leave that in. What else happened in the world of Kamen Rider, Liam?
I'll leave it in, but not because you told me to. In the new movie coming up, in the Movie Wars Genesis, Shinosuke and Kiriko are going to get married.
Didn't that already happen at the end of the series? Like, in the text?
Yeah, it happened in the text, but we get to see it. There's a picture that says, Happy Wedding, and it shows Shinosuke and Kiriko all decked out, all in white.
They do look good together in that photo, I will say that. But is a wedding what young Japanese boys want to see?
Yes, you have to get married and have children right now, as soon as possible. At least 5 children.
What I predict is they get all set up for the wedding, and then a Roid Mew just sort of like pops out of the cake and starts kicking ass.
Oh, that would be great.
That'll probably happen.
There'll be the stripper Roid Mewed popping out of the cake.
They already did Roid Mewed 69.
Oh, he was a stalker, though.
Yeah, it made sense if you thought about it too much.
Oh, boy.
Well, we all know, Jeff, you like to think about sex a little too much.
Did you just say sex?
I thought I heard someone just say sex. That's all my news. That's everything.
It?
That's everything I have.
God, we're light on mail this time, too. We're going to have another fucking subject at the end of this.
Oh,
start thinking about
wait. I have something I want to talk about. I can't believe I forgot until just now.
What's that?
I saw The Next this week for the first time.
Oh, fuck.
If
you were unlucky enough to come to our Kamen Rider Zetto stream, surprise!
Should we explain what happened, or should we just leave it as a mystery?
I want to explain what happened badly.
Okay, go for it.
We were going to stream Kamen Rider Zetto, but YouTube shut us down. I got a cease and desist letter in the mail from YouTube, and they said that we can't watch Zetto because it's too good. So we decided to watch The Next instead, figuring we were probably safe.
Yeah, John YouTube kicked Jeff in the balls, and now we have to watch The Next. And I saw it for the first time. That was my first time ever seeing it. I wasn't expecting it.
How does it feel to be dead inside?
You know what? I should explain the plot first. Kamen Rider The Next is about a song, like a pop song that kills you if you listen to it, and it becomes like this urban legend, and Takeshi Hongo, who is now for some reason a high school science teacher, teams up with one of his students, and they go to investigate, and they have all sorts of really stupid, horrible adventures. And you know what? I'm going to come right out and say it. It was better than the first. I liked it more than the first.
Really?
What?
That's not high praise. I'm not saying it was good. It was fucking awful. But it was less awful than the first, I thought. Because you, Jeff, you talked it up like it was going to be worse. And I thought...
It is worse. It's not that much worse, but it's worse.
I think it's a little bit better. I think for the sole reason that the first has that really stupid, like, side plot with the hospital couple that has nothing to do with what's going on until the very end.
You know, you joked about that being the A plot and the Kamen Riders being the B plot, but in The Next, Kamen Riders actually are the B plot.
Well, that's the thing. It's less about an A plot and a B plot in that the Kamen Riders are at least kind of involved. Shocker is at least tangentially involved in the whole cursed song thing.
Like Chiharu's song.
The Chiharu song, and it's a much more coherent story for it. Rather than, like, the first where it feels like you're watching 2 movies up until the very end. And
you know, I gotta say, rewatching the first and The Next, I can kinda almost agree with you.
Yeah, it's...
Like, the action in The Next is actually better than the action in the first, as well.
There's some really cool bike stunts in The Next, which is awesome. And V3's suit is really slick with the popped collar. The cheetah guy is really cool. And
yeah, I will say that the Kaijin suits are much fucking cheaper this time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the cheetah guy is wearing, like, a fucking dollar store Halloween mask with a wig attached to it.
It's pretty good. The Chiharu plot is dumb, but at least the Kamen Riders are somewhat involved in it. They're investigating it.
They only become involved in it at the end. Really.
Yeah, but like there's...
In the same way that in the first, they only become involved in the end.
But there's a connection...
I feel like any sort of praise you give to the first or the next is just sort of underhanded, because we both know they're just... Or we all know they're just not good movies inherently.
Every time you praise the first or the next, it always ends with, but... Or at least.
But the rest of it is just complete horseshit, so...
They're fucking awful.
Watch a highlight reel.
Yeah.
I like the first more because I've seen it so many times at this point that I can completely block out the teen love story.
The teen romance. Jeff's created a supercut of the first in his mind.
I pretty much have. Like, if you were sitting in a room with me and we were watching the first, and you looked over at me during any scene when the teenagers are on screen, I would have a completely fucking blank face and be staring off into nowhere.
I feel like a supercut of the first and the next would be shorter than a regular episode of Kamen Rider.
Probably.
If you put together all the good parts, yeah, it'd be like 5 minutes.
There's so much fucking filler in those movies.
Yeah.
I hate the next so much because it's insulting. The first, you can kind of see what they were trying to do, what they failed spectacularly at. They were trying to be, like, artistic with the way they created the story, like, weaving the two narratives together, but they forgot to weave.
Yeah, they didn't weave them. It was like two separate strings that are tied at the very bottom.
Yeah, and in the next, they did a better job of weaving the two plots together, but the A plot is the fucking ring. That's it. It's the ring.
I remember watching it, and it was like 20 minutes before the first fight scene, and the first scenes, like, all the scenes in the movie are people listening to the cursed song, and getting horribly mutilated, and, like, the investigation, and it's like, you gotta remind yourself, like, holy shit, I'm watching a Kamen Rider movie, and there's Hongo, but it's, like, not actually Hongo, because it's this random pretty boy.
He's a fucking crybaby.
At least he's there. Is he going to transform soon? Nope.
The best part about waiting 20 minutes for that fucking scene is that the scene is like 3 minutes long, and then Hongo runs away like a bitch.
Yeah, he fights the Shocker Riders, and then he just ditches. It's great.
I fucking hate that movie.
It's not a great one. Tomas, you don't like it either, I assume, right?
No. Yeah. I've been trying to think of, like, a good analogy for how they try to work the plots together. The first is, like, two decks of cards, like, mixed together, and they're, like, one is, like, a deck of cards with, like, you know, Disney princess characters, and the other one is, like, Marvel, and they have, like, nothing to do with each other.
And then the other deck of cards,
they're, like, they're totally on point, and they're, like, the same suit and all that, but they're all just Joker cards.
I think a better analogy is... Your fucking analogy of Disney princesses and Marvel characters is almost on point for the next. It's Disney playing cards with Disney princesses and playing cards with serial killers on them shuffled together, and that's the
serial
next.
Serial killers with melted faces.
The first is a deck of regular playing cards and a deck of fucking Uno cards shuffled together.
Okay, I think we've had plenty of metaphors. The movies are bad.
I want to talk about cards some more.
No, watch Ryuki if you want to
talk
about cards.
Hey, I can tell you about cards, man.
No cards. There will be no more card talk.
So, if you come to our streams, let it be known that you might not end up watching what you think you're going to watch.
Basically, we're going to tell you the movie that we're going to try and stream, and then it's just going to be kind of a grab bag, whether it's the movie or not, so it's fun.
If we can't stream the movie, there's really nothing we can do about it, so strap your fucking ass in, because it's going to get weird.
It's like a mystery box. You have fun with it.
Just
it'll be
don't
exciting.
Pull from the grab bag that has XXXX written on it.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen.
It's...
Get Jeff's porn box out of the garage.
I am not a sex weirdo. It's like a fucking it's like a grab bag. It's like a mystery box.
Yeah.
You go to see Kamen Rider Zetto, but you want what's in the mystery box. There could be anything in there, even Kamen Rider Zetto.
Nah, it was the fucking next, you idiots. We tricked you.
Oh, no. And the best part about it was one of our viewers had messaged her younger brother saying you have to come and watch Kamen Rider Zetto. It'll be your first time watching Kamen Rider, and this will be a great way to get you into it. And he was like, okay. And then he watched the next.
So I think.
What did you start off watching, Jeff? What was your first experience?
I started off watching a few episodes of the original series and Super 1 in a stream. And then I watched the first.
Oh, boy. I think if we could ever say, if anybody ever asks, Ryder, have you, Ryder Club Radio, have you ever turned somebody off Ryder for life? We can say yes now, yeah. So
absolutely, we have. So I think that's enough said about the next. We're going to stream something else again, but I have prior engagements the next couple weekends, so it'll have to be in a while.
It's Halloween next Saturday. We all got shit to do, surely.
And I have a big engagement the weekend after.
Do we have any emails this week, Jeff?
We have 3 emails.
Okay, well, we'll stretch them.
3 emails.
We might have to have another topic after this.
We'll make do.
Our first email is from Cyberman Worf. I forget which number super fan he is.
It's always shuffling.
Hello, you guys. Enjoying the podcast as always.
Good.
My question is who you think, from any of the previous seasons, would have made a good Ryder that wasn't a Ryder? With regards, Cyberman Worf.
Oh. I know there's one guy from Wizard that everyone talks about, but I didn't see Wizard.
He's a shitter.
Yeah,
he's a
shitter. People are joking.
They're all idiots? Okay.
It would have been cool if he was a writer, but his character is a shitter, so...
I have an answer straight out the gate that I figured you guys would have jumped on immediately.
Go for it.
And that's Ichijo from...
Oh, yeah, buddy.
That's so obvious.
Actually, no.
Yeah, the way the characters are would be ruined if Ichijo was a writer. Their dynamic would be completely thrown out of balance.
Yeah. That's a Hyper Battle DVD, but not the show.
There's actually a piece of fan art. I have no idea who did it. But it is of Kuga and, like, a blue Kuga who has a stag beetle motif.
I've seen that.
And that picture's fucking awesome, but I probably wouldn't actually want that to happen.
Yeah, Kuga works as it is. It's a thing that shouldn't be changed.
As a solo rider thing.
Yeah, the only literal
the
single rider series in
the
Heisei.
The final solo rider.
Yeah. Oh, God, a rider that wasn't a rider. I think, can I say Tackle? Does that count?
Tackle is a rider.
Tackle is
a
rider in everything
say.
But name. She should have been called Kamen Rider Tackle or something.
But Liam, she had to be put to rest so she didn't have to be a Kamen Rider anymore.
Oh, what a fucking shitty explanation. If ever there was anything bad that I had to say about Kamen Rider Spirits, it was that. Fuck.
Do you have an answer, Tomas?
I'm thinking, the only answers I'm really coming up with, I'm thinking about maybe if Ngaim, the guy that ran that, like, that smoothie shop.
Oh,
Bando.
Bando, yeah.
Yeah.
Bando. If he wound up like, oh, I have this Lockseed and this driver out of nowhere. And obviously he would start with a Genesis driver because he makes smoothies.
That's true.
He's kind of close to soda.
He could have been Kamen Rider Smoothie.
God, all these layers. I have an answer.
He would have had Mix.
I have an answer. Now that you mentioned Bando, I have an answer. The guy that Bando's actor played in Ryuki, the
oh,
manservant
yeah.
to...
the manservant guy. I can't remember his name.
Oh, shit! I totally forgot he was in Ryuki!
He briefly, at one point, puts on he's Zolda once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's not, like, his own rider. I think if he was his own rider and he joined in on the rider war, that wouldn't have fucked his character up completely. He could be, like, the buddy helper to Zolda.
Yeah, that would have added another layer to his character as well, because instead of, trying to sacrifice himself once, he would be doing everything he did with the knowledge that eventually he'd have to sacrifice himself so that his man crush could win the Rider War.
Or maybe he would turn against him in a plot twist.
Rewriting the series now.
Oh my god.
Yeah, this seriously should have happened.
But like
and everyone thought he was a writer to begin with because he was sort of portrayed to be like some sort of badass, I'm gonna beat you up.
Yeah, he's a mysterious man.
Speaking of
Goro was his name.
Speaking of Goro and Bando, I forget his character, Mishima? Is that his character in Kabuto?
Yeah, Mishima. He was also in Kabuto.
speaking of Kabuto, I wish anyone would have continued being the bee.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't care who it was.
He was the bee once. Mishima was the bee once. in one
and then
scene.
The bee, like, ran away scared because he was spoilers.
Oh, another way...
He buzzed off.
Fuck off. Another good thing that I would like, because if Goro was a rider, not only would that be cool, but it would also bring the series one step closer to actually having 13 riders, which would have been nice, but oh well. Oh well.
I don't know if I have a real answer to that.
Ichijo doesn't really count. It would fuck with his character too much.
Yeah, I wouldn't really like that. So yeah, I guess that's really it. I don't really have a real answer.
That's a shame. What about Showa? Anyone from Showa?
Taki, but he kind of became a rider when he became Skull Rider in Spirits.
Oh yeah, that was so cool. That scene was awesome.
And that was the best way for him to become a rider as well.
He does it on his own.
Because his whole thing was that he kept up with the common riders even though he wasn't transformed.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
I don't know. That might be my only answer. Maybe Gan G actually becoming a rider. That would be good for him.
Now that's a hyper battle video. If ever there was one in Showa. Oh, okay.
That's all I got for that.
Alright, what's the next one?
Our next one is from Dank Rider, and he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 18 times written Kill the Imposter.
What?
Because of
Kamen
Rider
Dank. I thought you were going to say he had 18 questions, and I was like, well,
no.
Fuck. Pick one.
We don't need any more content.
He wrote Kill the Imposter 18 times so that I could count really quick.
Okay.
Also, I've been listening since episode 6, so suck it. We're having, like, a fan war here.
Does he have a question?
Yes.
Okay.
That's...
I don't know if that's a badge of honor.
Liam is such a dick. He's like, is there a fucking question in this?
I have no patience. I have no patience for this horse shit. Give me the questions.
I wonder if anyone listening now listened to the episode that I did with Jeff.
I hope not.
Back in, like, October of last year for, like...
Hey, Rider Club Radio 1 year anniversary. Holy shit.
Oh my god.
Also, why do you guys think tokusatsu appeals to so many people of so many different ages all over the world, whether it be Kamen Rider, Sentai, Ultraman, Godzilla, or even Power Rangers? Personally, I think it appeals to people's urges to just have fun while watching something and be captivated by it. What do you guys think?
I think it's odd that he phrased it even Power Rangers, because whenever I have to explain, like, Kamen Rider or anything, I have to go, so you know Power Rangers, okay, it's like two steps away from that.
It's a lot of steps away from that.
Well, the two steps are, Power Rangers is Super Sentai, and in the same neighborhood as Kamen Rider.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, Power Rangers is the most popular one. That's the one that you have to use in context. But I think the reason why tokusatsu is so popular all over the place is, it is fun to watch, but it's got to run deeper than that. There's plenty of things that are fun to watch that aren't tokusatsu.
I think we have an inherent desire to see superheroes in live action. I think that's sort of something that's been inherent in the way film in general has developed. Like, one of the first silent movies that was ever done was The Phantom.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the superhero, the Phantom?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So...
the guy in all purple.
Yeah, it's like, he wasn't in that movie, of course.
Yeah.
But that was one of the first things that we put to film. Also, one of the first things we put to film was a pornography. So that tells you a lot
always
about humans.
Always back to the sex with you, Jeff.
I am not a sex weirdo.
It's, I think it's just people love superheroes these days. It's, stuff like the Avengers made, like, a fucking billion, quadrillion dollars.
Yeah, but you think about Kamen Rider's been around since
Showa. But that has a long story history in comics, and everyone was like, oh, the Avengers on the screen, oh!
I mean, people knew who Iron Man and Captain America were, but probably only by name. If I really had to guess why so many people love tokusatsu the world over, I think that there are deep themes hidden below the surface, even in Showa Kamen Rider, of what it means to be a hero and what it means to be a human being. Every rider is changed in some way, whether it be just personality wise with the riders who use technology, or like intrinsically, but like the riders who are transformed into something else. And I think the running theme in Kamen Rider is what humanity really is. And I think that's interesting to anyone who's a human being.
That's true.
Because, like, I think that's sort of a basis of most literature, like most fiction in general. An underlying theme is what it means to be human.
With the cyborg writers, that's a really big, it's a big bit.
And, like, what it means to do the right thing is a prevalent thing in all superhero fiction.
Yeah.
And all, like, hero fiction in general. And, I mean, you could even stretch that to be fiction in general. Even stories where the characters are, like, absolutely horrible, you're meant to see them as being horrible and, like, juxtapose that to what you understand as being good. So I think there's a general need in human beings to study what it means to be human and to understand what it means to do the right thing. And I think Kamen Rider feeds that in a colorful, bright package with lots of explosions and kung fu fights.
It's not a bad answer.
At least the good ones.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that Wizard has much of any character development.
I think Liam's explained a few times why he enjoys Kamen Rider so much.
Because I'm a child inside and I love toys and doodads.
I don't believe that was the exact explanation.
I think Kamen Rider has a wide appeal, at least the earlier series, because they depict a world where justice still has some meaning and power and impact.
Oh my god.
Like,
Liam, like, coming out right here with, like, the world is fucked.
Well, come on. Compare the real world to Kamen Rider, where, like, in a Showa Rider series, right? Someone does something bad, kills some people, steals, blows up some buildings. What happens to them? They get kicked and they explode and they fucking die horribly. Right? If you do something bad in a Showa Rider series, you're dead. It's a world of absolute justice.
A man in a bug suit will find you and kick you into dust.
You'll get spin kicked, you'll get front flip kicked, and you will fucking explode, and there's no escape.
That's only if you're a horrible monster man, though.
That's true. If you don't, you're still going to jail, though, if you're a human, right? You're gonna get caught.
I mean, there's immediate justice, you're right.
Usually, if you're a human, you get turned into a cyborg or a monster or something, and then you get spin kicked if you're evil. That's just...
Usually.
Usually. That's how shit is in the older shows. And in the newer shows, it's less about that. But I think that was what pulled people in early on, when Kamen Rider was still a new thing and didn't really have a huge legacy to back it up and didn't really have much of a reason to experiment much, like they do in Heisei.
Kuga still had elements of that.
Kuga was very, like... you have the same thing where it's like a world full of evil and you have this one, like, bright, shining light of goodness in the middle. And just like in the older series, you know, the Grongi do a lot of evil shit. They kill a lot of people. But guess what? Every single time they get front flip kicked by Kuga and they blow up and they die horribly.
I think Kuga works.
And it also shows a lot more than just what Godai can do for, you know, saving the people around him and saving humanity. But also, you know, the people around him, they're not worthless. I mean, they do everything in their power. And it just so happens that, you know, they have this bug mask dude that, you know, comes in and kicks the day.
Kicks
ass and
kicks the
just
day.
Just when I thought this day wouldn't get any worse, fucking Kuga kicks it.
Yeah.
I think, I agree, though. I think Ichijo is a really strong part of Kuga, and I think without him, the show would not be nearly what it is. Like, it doesn't have that element of, like, here's the normal guy who's just... He does what he can.
Godai wouldn't have anyone to bounce off of.
Yeah, exactly.
Kuga works exceptionally well as a bridge between Showa and Heisei.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, people say
that... And I feel like that was its purpose.
Well, I mean, at the time, I'm sure they had no idea that Heisei was going to become so different. And they were just trying to recreate Kamen Rider for a new generation.
Mm.
And they looked to the past to do that. And, you know, the series became less and less like Showa as it went along. I mean, even by Ryuki, shit was right out the window.
That was, yeah, third season into Heisei, that was when they started experimenting.
And
yeah,
Kuga,
Ryuki set up a lot of the stuff that the later Heisei shows stole liberally from. What with the writers can be good and evil.
Like the Tatakai, yeah.
The using a stupid gimmick to transform and
use
powers.
Yeah, the gimmick stuff.
That wasn't
that. Stuff is a poison.
Ryuki's gimmick was very tame. It was just a little square that you put into your belt.
I'm talking about the cards.
Oh, the cards. Yeah, yeah. That was pretty gimmicky. Yeah.
And cards came back several times, so.
So you can think.
I remember
Ryuki.
When I was first learning of Kamen Rider, and I found out about Blade, and I'm like, oh, cards! That's original! Little did I know.
Not quite original.
Would not be the first or last.
Kuga's a great bridge because while it does have like the transformation gimmick of later series, I mean, Black RX had that as well, but it was goofy as fuck. Kuga had that seriousness that some of the like early Showa episodes had. It took itself very seriously, even though, you know, some of the effects might be kind of silly. And it was very character-focused, which is, like, sometimes even at the detriment of, like, the action. And Kuga's really great at balancing it, but it became really disjointed later in Heisei.
Yeah.
Where the action almost, sometimes it wouldn't even happen in an episode.
I feel like most Heisei series are pretty good about having at least one henshin scene, but a lot of the times it feels like it's just there because, okay, we gotta have at least one henshin scene between all this J-drama.
Yeah.
It's, ugh.
Well, Kuga also had a lot of that. They, as much as I love Kuga, it does slow down in the middle, and it feels like it's not really going anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It eventually is going somewhere, but for, like, 5-10 episodes, you know, there's really not a whole lot of development. Just, oh, we got some new bullets. Oh, we finally figured out what this thing does. Oh, there's this guy that's blowing this thing up now.
They read the runes, and you're going to get the purple form, and it does quite slow down a bit in the middle, but it's nitpicking at a really good show. Like, Kuga's kind of hard to hate on for me, at least. I fucking adore it.
For me, too.
Mm-hmm. It does have faults, though, but, like, they all... They don't drag the show down that much for me.
Kuga's probably my favorite Heisei series. Either Kuga or Double.
Ooh.
So, make of that
what you want. I think we're all sort of on the same page there.
I don't know.
I love Ryuki. Ryuki. People, is that egregious?
People take gumption. Umption. They dislike a lot that Liam likes Ryuki. They really hate
them. Ryuki's a divisive series. I didn't know.
I really like Ryuki, but it's not... It's not bad, but it's good. I like it. It's just not great.
I watched Ryuki, when I watched through it, I finished it. I was like, damn, that was really good. And I guess, stupid me, I kind of took it for granted that probably everybody else, I figured it was a well-liked series because I just thought it was really great. And when I actually, you know, went into the community and saw people talking about it, I was surprised how split right down the middle it was. How many people there were that were like, Ryuki is the worst season. And
people either like it or hate it. Those are the two extremes.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a lot of people's least favorite. It's a lot of people's least favorite. Yeah, really.
I couldn't see it being the least favorite by a mile.
Like, oh, no, there are...
It's really not... It's not even close to being that bad. Like, I couldn't even stomach... I couldn't even watch Blade. Like, I appreciate some of what Blade does. Mm. But the characters are just... Anyway, we're going
What the fuck was the question?
Why do people like Rider?
Why do people like Tokusatsu?
It's a very broad question, though. You can go anywhere with it.
Yeah, Kamen Rider has a million different reasons why people like it, and I think that might be because it has so many different types of stories.
Yeah, it's like Japan's Superman. It's like a cultural powerhouse at this point that there are a lot of different entry points that people can take. There are a lot of different dimensions that you can look at it from.
I don't know.
Well,
it
all started with the practical effects with Godzilla and just sort of exploded from there.
Yeah, tokusatsu, the genre, yeah.
I would say Kamen Rider's closer to, like, even though I don't really like it that much anyway, I'm okay with it, but it's, like, similar to Doctor Who.
Yeah.
In that it kept a lot of the same conventions, but it had different actors and different tones with every series.
Yeah, yeah.
So people have their favorite series, some they didn't watch. I mean, it's even more broad than that, because Kamen Rider series usually don't have jack or shit to do with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like... If you jump into Kamen Rider, eventually you'll land on something you like.
I think, though, the reason why I compare Kamen Rider to Superman is because I think in terms of cultural impact, it's similar in the East as Superman is in the West. Like, when you think of, like, if you're in the West and you think of a superhero, right, you think of the cape, the tights, the symbol on the chest, that's all Superman.
Yeah.
If you're in Japan and you say superhero, they think of the big belt, the blazing red scarf, the helmet.
You either think of Kamen Rider or you think of Ultraman.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's tokusatsu, right? That's Eastern superheroes. That's how they are.
And I mean, think about this. I went to fucking Disney World in Florida, and what is the only Japanese superhero stuff I saw there? Kamen Rider.
Yeah, it's huge.
That is such an intrinsic part of Japanese culture at this point. So it is a lot like Superman in that way.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess that's our
answer.
I don't
know what the fuck that had to do with your question, but I hope you enjoyed it.
Okay, we got one more?
All right, yeah, we have two more questions here. Next up is Dexter.
Okay.
He says, I have declared myself the number 6 super fan. You can't do that. Fuck off.
What?
My question for you this time is, if you were able to create your ideal Kamen Rider game, what genre would it be? What company would you want to publish and or produce it? And who would you want to be the development team?
Devil May Cry clone.
That would be great.
That
That's
would
all
be
I have
great,
to say.
But what Rider would be, like, what series would it focus on?
Whatever the newest series was.
Really? What if the newest series is a piece of shit and that's
okay,
all you
okay.
get?
Okay, okay. In a perfect Liam world, Ryuki would be the
really?
Game that was about. Yeah, you could totally do that. Each Rider would be a boss, and then you'd have all the mirror monsters as, like, the moot fights between them.
Doesn't that undermine the point that Shinji doesn't want to fight the other Riders? Though?
Fuck that, it's a Devil May Cry game. Play as Knight or something. Play as Odin. I don't know. Do something.
You could play as Asakura.
Can't be a visual novel about Ryuki trying to avoid fights. That wouldn't be fun.
No.
Maybe that's why people didn't like Ryuki. Because it was so hypocritical. Oh, I don't want to fight. I'm going to go fight now.
I want to fight every single episode.
He had to, or the ratings would go down.
Oh no, what about you guys? What's your dream Kamen Rider game?
I don't know about a dream Kamen Rider game, but I literally beat Chroma Squad right before starting this call.
Oh.
And is
it good?
It was fucking great. I wouldn't say, okay, I take it wasn't fucking great. It was really good.
Mm-hmm.
There were some plotting parts in there, and some of it felt underdeveloped and not tested well. But it was very, very fun. And it's not technically a Kamen Rider game because it's a Sentai game, but I went down the Rider route. So for one season, I got to play as a single character going around with new abilities and beating shit up. And I wouldn't say it's an ideal Kamen Rider game, but it was a damn fun experience for while it lasted.
Yeah, I played Chroma Squad back around when it came out. I played it, I played through season one, and then I just sort of, it got swallowed up in other shit. But it was a pretty fun game. It was a nice, simple strategy game. I liked it.
Yeah, it's simple, but it's really enjoyable when you get into the later parts of the game, like the Rider part that I played, trying not to give away too much. The abilities that you get really makes it feel like you're playing... It's a very distinctly different kind of playstyle because the rest of the game is team-based.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to try and make it different enough so that when you're playing as a single member, you have enough to do and enough solutions for, you know, you're fighting 15 dudes and then two bosses back-to-back with a single person, and you only have this much HP, and you can only heal, you know, every couple turns.
Yeah.
You have to work around positioning and... when you want to do your Rider kick and, you know, the different kinds of abilities that you have that, you know, work on, like, instantly, like, they don't take up, like, it sort of works on, like, you get a move action and, like, a regular action.
Mm. Are you selling this game?
A little bit. I'm selling it a little bit.
What is the name of the Kamen Rider ripoff?
What do you mean?
Yeah, it has a name, doesn't it? Like, the character you play as when you're a Kamen Rider?
Oh, it's actually just one of the five members of your Sentai squad. The rest of your team. I don't want to get too much into it, but
I could have sworn his name was like Knight Driver or something, and it was like K N I G H T.
Oh no, it's N I G H T, and that's the actual Rider like form that you change into. There's like this old dude that shows up and gives
spoilers.
You
Anyway.
Oh, he just stops
anyway,
dead, okay.
You fucking ass.
What about you? What about you, Jeff? What's your dream game?
Okay, get this. Okay, simultaneous online co-op.
Ooh, I like it.
Kamen Rider 1 and 2.
Okay.
Unlockable V3.
Okay.
God Hand.
Oh!
Monstrous.
I'm sold.
I fucking love God Hand.
Dude, yes. I would kill a baby. I would kill a Japanese baby and ruin the birth rate even more just so I could play this game that I made up in
I
my mind.
I would murder Liam with my hands.
Now I want to play God Hand again. Fuck you, Jeff. I forgot about that game.
I want to play God Hand again, too, now that I thought of it.
I'm going to be in a perpetual state of wanting to play God Hand for the next, like, month. Shit.
Fuck you guys. I have God Hand. I'm going to go play it.
Fuck you.
Yeah, that's perfect, though.
Think about all the fucking combos you could do. The finishers would be perfect.
Yeah, you got the special move thing that you select from, yeah.
The episodic way the game plays out.
The bosses, yeah. All the acrobatics and shit.
It's absolutely perfect for it.
It's the,
being able to change your combo.
It's the perfect formula.
And I mean, they could have, like, unlockable costumes for the riders, like Sakurajima Rider 1, like, original suit Rider 1.
Yeah, yeah.
Black Helmet Rider 2.
Oh, that'd be cool.
You could do the first and the next versions of the costumes if you want to relive your fucking traumatic experiences.
Untransformed costume would be cool. Play as the sexy, normal guy.
Also, it'd be made by Platinum.
Absolutely.
Of course.
And it could even be, like the Sega Genesis Super Nintendo Power Rangers games, or like the original Kamen Rider beat-em-up for Super Nintendo, in that you fight untransformed, and then you henshin to get your life back.
Yeah, and
that's also in Chroma Squad.
Yeah,
and then if you're playing a co-op, you could have like double super moves instead of just the regular ones.
Fuck, that'd yeah. be this dream world that we're talking about is so much better than the one we live in.
Oh, I'm sad now.
Dexter puts forth the second question. What if a Kamen Rider belt could be connected to the internet and updated for whatever new upgrades, riders, or toys are to come next, thus future-proofing it and not bounding the story to what's already in the toy?
Toy would lose money. The end.
Yeah, I mean, Gaim gets an upgrade, and you gotta get the Lemon Energy, you gotta get the Genesis Core. If they just download it on the internet, what's gonna happen?
Well, the problem with that business plan is that it's fucking failing.
That's true. That's true.
And it's pigeonholing the series, because everything you put in the belt is gonna be in the series, and you can't do jack or shit more, and if you can't get all those... Like, say you super load the belt with a ton of forms, you end up with like top max, like type max high speed or whatever, like the forms that never fucking happened.
All that shit, Mega Max Flare that only got used once, or Burning Solar.
Yeah, the shit
type Technic.
Like the shit that's never going to get used.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is a great idea. Toei, of course, will never do it, because once they get hold of a business plan, that's fucking it.
They're dug in, Toei. I think...
But I think that's a great idea.
It would be nifty if it's like, here's the belt, it starts with one form, and then that would keep people from hacking all the forms out right from the start, and it would be like, oh, here's the episode with the Newton form. Right now, you can go to Toei's website and download, you know, the necessary sounds or whatever. If you also buy the toy in addition, maybe, I don't know.
The only problem with this is, and it might be why Toei would go for it eventually, if they're going for, like, one big toy instead of a ton of shitty toys, this belt would be insanely expensive, because it would have to have actual, like, hardware and software.
Oh, yeah, to interface.
Yeah.
It's a crazy idea.
Also, wouldn't really be good for the future, because, you know, those files aren't going to be hosted forever.
Yeah, it's a crazy idea, but Toei needs crazy ideas right now.
Toei needs to start bailing water out of their fucking boat. I mean, it's not really that bad, but it could get that bad.
If it gets that bad, then maybe we'll see some cool, crazy ideas.
Maybe.
I don't really see it getting that bad. I think the rate at which Toei is failing is about one tier per episode.
Oh, no.
It's a Scrooge McDuck thing where he's like, oh, if I keep losing $1 billion a second, I'll be broke by 2087.
It's kind of like all those people that say Nintendo is failing, and even if they went in the red, like, for 30 years, they'd still have money.
Yeah, Nintendo's been doomed since, like, 95. They're still kicking.
Maybe that's Toei.
Oh, no.
Toei's been doomed since Kiva. It just keeps kicking.
Toei's been doomed since 71. So that's our answer.
Yeah, I think that's the end of our episode as well.
Yeah. By the way, we've got an email. That's riderclubradio@gmail.com. We've got...
Yeah, please write in to us. We need emails, as you might have noticed.
Emails are nice. We've got a Twitter that's @riderclubradio. So if you follow that, it makes me feel very validated in life. It makes me
feel...
It will
make our E-peen much larger.
It makes me feel better about my low station in life.
And if you want to tell me I'm a piece of shit, I'll never hear about it.
We'll tell them for you.
Yeah, tell us that Tamaz is awful. I would love to hear that.
Every
I really need more people in my life to tell me I'm a piece of shit.
We will relay word for word to Tomas anything you have to say about him.
Thanks for coming on, Tomas. We're going to dig back up your grave and throw you back into it, but we appreciate you coming on our spooktacular special.
Not if I crawl back in first.
Okay, goodbye, sir.
Alright, bye, Tomas.
Everyone wave goodbye to the dead man.
We'll never see him again.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Rider Club Radio, everybody.
See ya.
See ya. Thank you.